SEC Media Days begin with LSU, Ole Miss, South Carolina, and Vanderbilt. Our boy Jake Crane is on the scene.
Nick Saban gets turned away at SEC Media Days for not having credentials.
And we're going to sit down, or our boy Jake is going to sit down, with LSU quarterback Garrett Nussmeier. Check it out and more today on Crane and Company.
What's up, everybody? It's Blaine Crane here from Crane & Company. Every day, we're giving you the best insights of college football. Make sure you hit a five-star review. It really helps out the show.
Love it. Welcome into Crane & Company. It is a chaotic day here. You got David Cohn and Blaine Crane in studio. Here we are.
We're here.
But we got our boy Jake Crane in Dallas. Jake, can you hear us?
Where in the world is
there
Jake
he is
this week?
Yeah, and the entire rest of the company is in Milwaukee for the Republican National Convention. You got Trump's VP pick. A lot of chaotic stuff happening. We're trying to get you content in real time as quickly as we possibly can. But day one of SEC Media Days, LSU, Ole Miss, South Carolina, and Vanderbilt. Jake, what's the vibe there right now?
Well, it's a lot of excitement. Obviously, we're here in Dallas, Texas, and Oklahoma, even though they're not going today. I mean, we've had coaches and players asked about them as much as they've been asked about anything else. But the spirits are high. And I tell you, every member of Oklahoma and Texas media is just shocked at how much bigger this media day is than Big 12 media days. I was talking with Parker Thune, some other guys. It's just overwhelming. And they're kind of getting a sense of, hey, this is a bigger step. It's not a knock on them in the past, but so far it's been a great event. It's been a beautiful day. It's hot, I'm not going to lie, but everybody's excited, man. And in a year where we've had so much change going on, it feels like we're finally getting closer to just having toe meet leather, which is what we all want, whether it's talking about the playoff expansion, NIL, the transfer portal, conference realignment, whatever. We are getting close to that point, and SEC Media Days is just another stepping stone as we embark on that endeavor and gets us one day closer.
You think there's more excitement there than Pac-12 Media Days? Because apparently the Pac-12 still has a Media Days, and they said, hashtag, we're not dead, and welcome to the fight, which I didn't know.
If you have to start it with hashtag, we're not dead, you're in trouble.
Yeah, you're probably dead. No, look, I'm sure the access is incredible for the amount of people that are there. No, and listen, I wonder if you're the ACC, how many more of these big media days do you got left down the road? But that's a story for another day.
That is a story for another day. Well, we got to talk about Nick Saban again at SEC Media Days, because he's there not as a coach this time, all right, which I got to see him at the wedding this weekend.
You did.
He looked good. Coach looked fit. It was a Roll Tide weekend. But, Jake, what did Nick
Saban
say?
You married Nick Saban?
Okay, see? You see, that's how the internet takes stuff, and now the meme's already
rat
getting
poison,
made.
Dave. Rat poison, Dave.
This guy's full of rat poison in Dallas. What did Nick Saban say about having to have a credential today, Jake?
Well, he said for 17 years at Media Days in the SEC, he never even wore credentials, is Nick Saban. Today, they actually told him, and this poor soul, I don't know who they are or if they're even here anymore, told Nick Saban that he had to go get a credential to be able to come into Media Days as a media person, which to me, there's a few guys that probably don't need credentials, right? Like if Batman walked in here, like he'd be like, all right, it's Batman. He doesn't need credentials, right? If you know, Biden or Trump walked in here, all right, like they don't need credentials. Nick Saban is in that category. Like Nick Saban is literally a credential in himself. He is a walking credential. He should really be able to go anywhere. He should be able to walk in the White House. He should be able to walk in the Library of Congress. He should be able to walk in SEC Media Days. But I tell you what, I think it, on a serious note, regardless of who you're a fan of, if you love Nick Saban or you hate Nick Saban, I truly believe that Nick Saban loves college football. Mm-hmm. I believe that Nick Saban wants what's best for college football. And especially now that, not that he needs the money, but his paycheck isn't determined by how good Alabama does. He can really do probably his best work for college football. And I think it's so important that he remains as close to the game as possible and has as much leverage and reach as possible in the game. So Did he not get a credential? Does he need a credential? Whatever. I don't think he needs one. But I think Nick Saban being here, and we're going to get to some of the comments he made in a minute, is great for the game of college football as a whole.
What job is worse? And I was thinking about this. The guy who had to ask Nick Saban for credentials or the guy who had to hold Steve Sarkisian in the tunnel before they ran out in the game?
Look, the guy who's holding Steve Sarkisian back is truly just doing his job. The guy who's asking Nick Saban about his credential sounds like he has a lot of Auburn in him. This sounded
personal. David, he's doing his job.
He's not doing his job.
He's not doing his job.
You made a point to go up to this guy. You know who Nick Saban is. He had a lot of Auburn in him. He waited his whole life for this moment. He waited his whole life for Nick Saban to retire so that he could tell him, you got to go back to your room, go back to room 1119 and get your credential.
The thing about Auburn's like, we just want to do things the right way.
Yeah, I bet.
You know, we want to do things the right way. There's a process to this.
I bet.
And Nick Saban's not special enough to not go through
that. That guy grinned the whole time Nick Saban walked back and got his credential.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the difference. I think the guy who held Steve Sarkisian back may have gotten fired. I think the guy who told Nick Saban that he needed to go get his credentials may just be disappeared.
Oh, he's on the train station. He's on the train station for sure.
Yeah. Listen, he's on his way right now to some outpost in Siberia.
Yeah.
Can we play the clip?
You can get credentials for them out there.
Talking about the, I want to hear the clip of it.
That's a little different. I've never worn a credential in my life and was always for 17 years able to get into SEC Media Day without a credential. I had to go back to the room today and get my credential to get in. So that's one of the biggest changes I see. It's not like it used to be.
I left my room.
Yeah, laugh through the anger. Laugh through the inside. He's seething. Seething inside. Oh. Don't think for a second he's not. Don't think it's okay. I bet the look on his face, I bet he could have had laser beams like Homelander come out of his eyes on the way back to the hotel room to grab that credential. I would say I'm not a betting man, but I am. BetOnline.ag, check it out. I would be willing to guarantee that never happens again.
Well, that's not even the funniest thing he said at SEC Media Day so far, and we're only a couple hours in. Run this clip of him talking about Texas isn't going to come in and run things.
You know, what kind of tickles me is all these people asking these questions about how Texas always ran the conference they were in. Anyway, they're not going to run the SEC. There's a whole lot of arrogant people in a lot of places in the SEC, so they can forget all about that. Yeah. They'll be a good team and a great program, and Sark will do a great job, but that's not going to be a problem.
It's a little different.
Well, there you go. We've been talking about it. We've been talking about it for 2 years, Jake, and finally Nick Saban can give his thoughts on it.
Yeah, and, you know, talking with people here, that there was some controversy on whether he was talking about politically behind closed doors, because that's really how Texas helped run the Big 12. It wasn't like Texas was winning all these Big 12 championships here recently, but think about what the Longhorn Network did. They were running it behind the scenes. They were the biggest of the big dogs in the Big 12. That is not the case behind the scenes in the SEC. You are one of many big dogs. Right. You are not the Titan. You are one of the Titans in Titan world now. So I think there was a little bit of a political angle because he picked Georgia and Texas to play in the SEC championship game, which I think gives more fuel to him talking about Texas kind of administratively, financially, and behind the scenes, not being that catapult of the conference by themselves. Mm-hmm. And look, we can sit here and say, oh, well, he didn't pick Alabama because he didn't want to show favoritism. I don't think Nick Saban cares. I think if he really thought Alabama would be in the SEC championship game, he would have picked Alabama in the SEC championship game. So I thought that was an interesting kind of delineation of what he was talking about, whether it was running the SEC on the field or behind the scenes.
I think Nick is a master manipulator. He plays chess while everybody plays checkers. And the reason he picked Georgia and Texas to go to the SEC championship because he wants to get bullet board material to Alabama. Right? What about LSU? What's crazier, in my opinion? You just had Nick Saban, your head coach. All right, 7 national championships, one of the best to ever do it. You watched today, all right, him get up there on SEC Media Days and pick Georgia and Texas to go to the SEC championship. If I'm an Alabama player, if I'm an Alabama fan, I am seething at the moment to step on a field Saturday to prove, look, the hero, you live long enough to come become what?
Villain.
The villain.
the villain. And right now, after Saban said that, I wouldn't be surprised if he pops up in people's eyes as the villain now.
Well, that's really interesting. And obviously, go ahead, Jake.
Well, I was just going to say this. Deep down, and I've always believed this, and people say, oh, it's because you're from Auburn. I think Nick Saban loves LSU more than Alabama. I really believe that. And I actually think now that he's out of it and that he coached at multiple places, not just Alabama, even though, you know, he's mostly known now because of recency of being the head coach at Alabama. I think he wants to be right. I think he's the type guy where, you know what, if I'm going to be a head coach in college football, I'm going to be the best head coach there ever was. If I'm going to be a sports media analyst or an SEC analyst, I'm going to be the best one there ever was, and I'm going to be right more than anybody else. I think that's kind of what he prides himself on. So deep down, I fully believe that he thinks Georgia and Texas are going to be in the SEC championship. I don't think this was some ploy to fire up Alabama or some ploy to fire up LSU. I think Nick Saban wants to be known as the greatest analyst, college football analyst of all time. And one of the ways, the fastest ways to do it is to be right.
That is true. I do think he wants to be right. Another way to do it is to not look biased, which does kind of play into that, regardless of being right. But I think if he legitimately thought Alabama would win the SEC, that he would just go ahead and say it. Well, I don't know if I agree with him liking LSU more than Tuscaloosa. As just someone who was just there 24 hours ago, watching the way this place loves that guy, man.
Oh, well, look, I'm not doubting whether Alabama loves Nick Saban. I'm doubting whether Nick Saban loves Alabama more than he does LSU.
And I don't think he does.
I think I really believe Nick Saban, deep down, just watch the way he talks about LSU.
You never forget
about the other day.
You never forget your first.
You never forget your first. You never forget
okay,
your first.
So we need to go back to
he took LSU,
we need to go to Michigan
Alabama.
State or Kent State.
No. Your real first, Dave.
Well, yeah. Listen. You never forget your first. He'll never forget Kent State. Buddy. Don't worry about that. And maybe not for the best thing.
Why don't we start with LSU? Because you're going to sit down with LSU quarterback Garrett Nussmeier. But before we get him in, let's go ahead and talk about LSU. Look, I just want to rattle through their schedule. Do you have anything to update us on Brian Kelly's press conference or anything LSU related from this morning?
Well, Brian Kelly said he thinks this is his deepest team that he's had at LSU. He also said that, look, you know, we talk about expectations. They went 10-3, and he fired his whole defensive staff. But he's very excited about Bo Davis. Look, and again, the interview with Garrett Nussmeier is fantastic. Really excited for him. And one of the guys that stuck through it, didn't get in the transfer portal, bided his time, waited his time. But I think Brian Kelly feels like this team's going to be more balanced. But that's something we've talked about on Crane & Company all the time, Dave.
All right, let's talk about LSU's schedule, the first five games up until that first bye week. We know they start with Southern Cal. That's a neutral site in Vegas.
Over.
Over, exactly. All right, so we got an awesome opener for LSU, which they seem to play a cool opening schedule every single year, which is awesome. You got Nicholls State, South Carolina in Columbia. South Carolina, you'll notice, has a lot of these really cool home games this year. UCLA in Baton Rouge, kind of a cool non-conference game for a lot of us college football fans, even though we'll have to see what UCLA is going to look like with Chip Kelly having left this year. And then South Alabama, Mr. Crane's alma mater, and that's in Baton Rouge. Obviously, the highlight there, though, is Southern Cal in the opener.
Yeah, look, LSU, when you look at their schedule, when you look at what they return up front, I mean, you got to feel good. It's a big game against USC. It's always a big game when you play USC, and obviously I'm talking about Southern California out there. But I do feel like they have the advantage going into this game as opposed to there were a lot of question marks last year going into the Florida State game, again, round two against Florida State. But I feel like it's an exciting enough schedule and it's also winnable enough where you can be double excited if you're an LSU fan. And like my brother just alluded to, probably going to take the over in that first game. But having that type of schedule before you get into the SEC with a quote-unquote new quarterback, I think is almost the perfect recipe to maybe get that defense some confidence as well, because USC's starting a new quarterback in Miller Moss, who went off in the bowl game, and that's great. But we got to see how they are up front. We know LSU's had problems on the defensive side of the ball. So I think it's almost the perfect storm for them heading into SEC play in that game at South Carolina, as you mentioned.
All right, so Blaine, on paper, both programs are starting new quarterbacks. But correct, like Jake said, I mean, it doesn't feel like Garrett Nussmeier's really that new, who we're about to sit down and talk with. I mean, as many reps as you're going to see from a first-year starter. Meanwhile, Southern Cal is not going to return Heisman Trophy-winning quarterback Caleb Williams. He's going to be suiting up for the Chicago Bears. Miller Moss is going to take over. What are your thoughts on that game and just those first five? I mean, realistic that LSU could start 5-0 before the first bye week.
Yeah, well, you look at this game, the winner is going to be whose defense comes and performs the best. And it's going to be interesting to LSU, in my opinion. You bring in Missouri's defensive coordinator and Blake Baker, who's the kind of guy who lets guy run free. They're aggressive in how they coach. And I think that's a really good thing for Harold Perkins Jr., who's coming back at linebacker. He doesn't have to think as much. He just gets to react, and that's what your best players want to do. It's going to be interesting. What's been the knock on Lincoln Riley? It's been defense. Defense. They got rid of their DC. I'll see how they perform. Miller Moss, both these guys, in my opinion, I wouldn't be surprised if their Heisman talks at the end of the season. It depends on how many games USC loses. Mm. We always talk about that. But Nuss, if Nuss can do half of what Jaden Daniels does from last year, LSU will be in the 12-team playoff.
He could do half of what he did and still be in the Heisman Trophy conversation, to be honest. That's
yeah,
how great
it is. I do want to kind of put a bow on it, too. And when we talk to Garrett, you'll see I asked him about the differences in him and Jaden Daniels. What I find fascinating about that USC-LSU game, the opener, and we're going to talk about Garrett Nussmeier and all the losses at wide receiver that LSU had, even though we know they have talented players to replace them. I think LSU's offensive line in that run game against USC with question marks on the defensive side of the ball, even after getting rid of Alex Grinch, who's kind of been the bugaboo or the weakness of Lincoln Riley, throughout his head coaching tenure, I think early LSU is going to play a game of let's line up and find out how man you are up front. Because we know what you can make the case LSU has the best offensive line in the country with what they have returning. So it's going to be a different brand of style of offense. And again, we're going to get into that with the interview. But what I'm fascinated to see is Garrett Nussmeier's transformation throughout the year, being able to lean on that run game, which opens up what, Cone? That play-action pass. I think LSU may end up being one of the deadly play-action pass teams in the country when it all gets said and done because of that offensive line and that downhill run game with what they have returning in the running back room as well.
All right, here's the middle part of their schedule. So LSU, after that first bye week, they get Ole Miss and they get them at home. That's going to be a theme that's common here. A lot of these big games for the Tigers are at home. So Ole Miss and Baton Rouge, they go on the road to Arkansas in Fayetteville, and then they go on the road to Texas A&M in College Station before that second bye week. So Ole Miss, Arkansas, Texas A&M, thoughts on that stretch?
Well, I mean, well, David, to be honest with you, obviously, they're going to be excited about the Ole Miss game. They're going to be excited about every game. But what would worry me if I was an LSU fan, it's not just the fact that Ole Miss may have the best team that they've had in a long time, and they've had some pretty decent teams, but it's that game against South Carolina on the road before they play Ole Miss. That's a game you cannot overlook. Look, South Carolina's they were awful up front on both sides of the ball last year, if we're going to look each other in the eyes and be honest. But that is still not a place I've coached up there in Columbia. It is a madhouse. I don't know how South Carolina is going to start out. Lenora Sellers is going to be interesting. But you cannot fall in the trap. And I know Brian Kelly knows this. I know Garrett Nussmeier knows this. I know their whole staff knows this. You cannot overlook that South Carolina game and try and play the Ole Miss game before that Saturday. Because if you can get by South Carolina, you handle business against Ole Miss, you should be better than Arkansas. Who knows if Sam Pittman will still be there by then. Now we start looking at, all right, the playoff contention is a legitimate thing, and you're going into another bye week to be able to rest and get healthy.
So after that second bye week, Blaine, Alabama in Baton Rouge.
Woo!
Okay, we saw Brian Kelly's first year 2 years ago,
yeah,
how that one ended. Go on the road to Florida. Again, could be a sneaky game. I mean, Billy Napier is going to be fighting for his job by that point, and it's still going to be the Swamp. Vanderbilt at home in Baton Rouge, and then Oklahoma to end the season at home in Baton Rouge.
That Oklahoma game is extremely interesting to me. That could decide a lot of things. Right now, if you were to look at it, you have more confidence, all right, at Ole Miss at home or Alabama at home? Walking in that game, if you're LSU, what do you feel better about? Because me, right now, Ole Miss has a better roster than Alabama. I think, honestly, after the transfer portal, after what they did on defense, this Ole Miss team, they're not going to be the same talent on offense. But they're reminding me they don't have to be phenomenal on defense to win what they want to win. It reminds me of that LSU team back in the day. If you look at that team with Justin Jefferson and all these guys, that defense wasn't great, but they were good enough.
They were still top 40, what?
Top 40. Maybe? If Ole Miss can be a top 25, a top 30 defense, they'll have a good enough roster and a good enough Lane Kiffin calling the plays, bringing back Jackson Dart and all the talent they have outside to make a run in the playoff.
Well, here's what I want to say to that. I think there's it's pretty even, I think. I don't know if it leans one way or the other, Blaine, because when I look at Ole Miss, we don't know how Ole Miss is going to handle these sky-high expectations for the first time since I can remember. And I wonder if it's going to affect the way Lane Kiffin calls plays. Are they going to go for it on 4th and 7 as they usually have now that they have enough bullets in the chamber to be able to win games even playing small ball or not taking big risks? Or do you dance with the one that brought you? I'm interested to see how this Ole Miss team handles not only high expectations, but legitimate and expectations that have a foundation of truth. They could win the conference legitimately. They could make the college football playoff legitimately. They could make a run with this roster at the national championship legitimately. But I've seen the way Alabama's players have handled that, even under a new coach with Kalen DeBoer. I know how Alabama's going to handle high expectations or big games. So is that going to be a feather in the cap of Alabama compared to Ole Miss? Or is Ole Miss veteran enough to be able to go in there and keep it together even before that game so it's as hyped up as possible? I think when you look at both these rosters and both these teams, there's actually a lot of similarities. Now, we can sit here and say the Ole Miss defense may be better than the Alabama's defense. I've got to wait and see that before I can say that. I think their players are better. They have a better roster than they've had in a long time. Then both offenses got tons of talent all over the place. You got quarterbacks that can do multiple things that are versatile. So I think it's pretty even. And just the fact that I am saying that playing Ole Miss and Alabama is basically crazy, even in that regard, shows you the shift that we have seen in the Southeastern Conference. And I'll give you one more caveat. I think this game is huge for LSU for another reason. It feels to me like lately LSU and Ole Miss have switched places, right? Not saying that Ole Miss has been this dominant defense, but it used to be that LSU was a very well-balanced, well-rounded team that could beat you in multiple ways, and Ole Miss was just an offensive juggernaut that tried to outscore you. Well, the last 2 years, the script's kind of been flipped. Even look at what Ole Miss did last year. You lead the SEC in turnover margin. You're top three in the SEC in backfield disruption rate. So to me, I think LSU needs to regain their identity a little bit against a team that I felt like pulled the Monstars and stole the soul out of the other one.
Well, either way you cut it, I think the three toughest games they have there, Alabama, Ole Miss, and Oklahoma, all of those are going to be at home in Baton Rouge. The next two toughest, I'd say Texas A&M and Southern Cal, one of those is neutral site. The other one is on the road. So, look, a favorable schedule if you're an LSU fan from where I'm sitting right now. And talking about live games, before we get to Jake's interview with LSU quarterback Garrett Nussmeier, we all love being at these live sporting events, not just college football, not just the NFL, but even for sports that I didn't grow up watching, like hockey.
Yeah.
We got the Preds right down the street here. I mean, show me a situation where you have more fun than going to one of those Predators games, especially when they win and they throw the fish on the ice, stuff like that. So look, the Game Time app is what this is really all about, though, because what makes these live events and these live games even better is getting the best deals, and you can do that with the Game Time app. Game Time is a fast and easy way to buy tickets online. Here in Nashville, like I said, we got the Preds, we got the Titans. You can even go to concerts with this. Who doesn't want to go hit a great country music concert? One of the best perks of their app is being able to see what the view is from your seat ahead of time. No one wants to be sitting behind some pole and you can't even see Garrett Nussmeier go score the game-winning touchdown for LSU. With Zone Deals, you pick the section and Game Time picks the seats for the big-time savings. They also have exclusive flash deals and sponsored deals on tickets. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code BOOSTER, that's B-O-O-S-T-E-R, for $20 off of your first purchase. Again, create an account and redeem code BOOSTER, B-O-O-S-T-E-R, for $20 off. Download Game Time today. That's one word, Game Time. Last minute tickets, lowest prices guaranteed. Terms apply. Hey, tell them about Game Time.
Look, it's the best you can get. You want the best tickets, the latest tickets, the cheapest tickets. What time is it, Dave?
Game Time.
It's Game Time.
Now
guys,
it's time to get to Jake sitting down with LSU starting quarterback Garrett Nussmeier.
We are here with LSU starting quarterback, finally getting his opportunity to be the guy, Garrett Nussmeier. Garrett, first off, man, congratulations, you know, on the success that you've had, the success you're going to have, and taking some time with us. I just want to ask you, man, I'm sure you've been asked a million times, you know, you bided your time, and now you get your opportunity. I just want to know, what has it been like knowing that you're going to be the guy, really getting to go through an off season being the guy, just, you know, how different that is, and I know you've been preparing this for your whole life.
Yeah, it's been everything. You know, I'm very excited for the opportunity that's coming. And, you know, it started just with building relationships with my teammates even more. You know, it's the most important part about playing alongside guys is knowing them as persons, you know, not just players. And so, you know, I'm very blessed. And I thank God every morning I wake up that this is the life I get to live right now. And so I'm excited for the fall.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, you and Jaden are different style of quarterbacks. And something I noticed about your game is you really do a good job of extending the play inside the pocket. You know, we talk about guys getting outside the pocket, making somebody miss, and finding somebody when the play breaks down in the scramble drill. But just talk about the importance of keeping your eyes down the field, how using your feet within the pocket can be just as deadly as extending the play outside the pocket.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, the way that I play the game, I'm definitely a pass-first type of guy. And, you know, I'm looking to pass, you know, not necessarily looking to run when things break down. So, you know, I think there's plays to be made when the play breaks down, and you don't necessarily have to be outside the pocket for those to happen. You know, when you play against a lot of different types of defenses like we do, you know, there are often times where they're only rushing three, and you can make plays back there and give your receivers time to get open, even if it's not the designated route. So I think that's where that comes from.
Well, you're a coach's son. I'm a coach's son. I'm sure we probably had similar upbringings.
Yeah.
You know, I think everybody thinks the quarterback, oh, you got to read the coverage and make the throw. Well, it's not just that. You got to set the protections, and you have an offensive line, thank goodness for you, that, you know, is about as good of an insurance policy as you can have. What was harder, or what is harder, checking the protections, being able to see what's probably coming, or being able to read what's going on in the secondary when the plays happen?
Yeah, I would think it all ties together. I wouldn't say one part's more difficult than the other. You know, obviously, like you said, with the offensive line that we have right now, it makes my job a little easier, you know, and so that's awesome. Makes me feel a lot safer. But, you know, I would say that it ties together, you know, because we also have some unbelievable receivers that are very, very good at getting open.
Yeah, all right, so the NCAA football game drops today. Garrett Nussmeier, quarterback at LSU. First player on offense. I'm guessing you would probably play as yourself.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
Yeah.
What's the first play you're calling?
Some type of pass.
Yeah.
Pass for sure. Hey, the ball's going in the air, so we'll see.
Definitely. Do you remember? I know you're younger than me, but do you remember the old school game in
NCAA
14?
Oh, yeah. I always played every day. So.
Yeah. You excited? As everybody else is? Yeah. Well, man, I'm, you know, if you could say one thing to LSU fans, right, kind of wrapping it up right here, what would you say going into a year where, you know, super explosive on offense last year, but you guys got weapons this year, too, including yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say every year's a different year. You know, we can't get caught up in the past. And what I would say to the fans is, you know, just give us an opportunity to show you what we've been working on. So, and go Tigers. That's
definitely. Well, week one, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a showdown. Garrett, good luck
appreciate
to you, man.
You.
Congratulations.
Yes,
and hanging in there. And
yes, sir.
And for your
appreciate
time.
It. Thank
All
you.
All right. Make sure you subscribe.
All right. There we have it. LSU starting quarterback Garrett Nussmeier. Jake, great interview, son.
You look like you've done this before.
Hey, yeah, look, you can tell how excited he is about finally being the guy. That's why I wanted to open up with that first question. And then, you know, we get into the nuts and bolts, being a coach's son. You know, I thought his answer, you know, what was harder, setting the protections or going through your reads when you're in the pocket? I thought that was a fantastic answer. And got to get the question about the NCAA college football video game, because you know you're going to play as yourself if you're Garrett Nussmeier. And obviously, his answer to what first play he's going to run is every quarterback's answer. We're throwing it.
100%.
I love it. All right, again, y'all, we're trying to get you all this content in real time. Chaotic situation here. Blaine and I are in studio. Jake is in Dallas at SEC Media Days. The whole rest of the company here is at the RNC in Milwaukee, but we're going to keep things moving here for you. Let's get to Ole Miss's schedule, because Ole Miss is there at opening day of Media Days as well, Jake. Anything from Lane Kiffin today or the rest of the staff?
You know, I want to make sure we send out condolences to Lane and his family. Obviously, Monty Kiffin passed away here recently. You know, Lane doesn't do a lot of talking on Radio Row. It's funny. He's kind of different on social media. He's a lot more open on social media than he is at these type events. But, no, look, I think, you know, you're in a situation now where, yes, Lane likes to be out there and he likes to create news. Well, now you really don't have to create news for Ole Miss to be at the forefront. You really don't have to manufacture publicity when you're expected to do the things that a lot of us, and I've talked to a bunch of the media here today, expect Ole Miss to do. So I think he's just trying to get through this as much as possible and move on. Because again, we hear rat poison and we're going to be doing this good and this, that, and the other. You don't want to create any bulletin board material or any preparation material that'll enhance that for the other team. So, excited they're here. There's a ton of excitement in Oxford and really amongst the Ole Miss fan base. And I think Lane's just trying to make sure he wins Media Days by not losing it.
Well, I walked by him last year at Media Days, and it's just that would have been the year I thought someone passed away.
It's just crazy to hear the line that Lane Kiffin doesn't want to make bullet board material when it feels like the only thing he does is get on his phone and make bullet board material on X. Am I crazy for saying that? I know it's different in person.
No. Last year,
on X, I mean, guy, he's one of my favorite accounts to follow.
That is true. A troll of the highest order.
Well, he is. Yeah, he is. But it's one thing to take a screenshot of a tweet that somebody puts out. I think it's another thing to have a video clip of another coach saying something that fires up another team. I just think that hits different. I think it's kind of a different vibe. And if you look, I mean, you know, outside of what happened when he went back against Tennessee and they were throwing mustard on the field and golf balls and all that stuff, Lane does in a lot of these type settings just try and get through it. So as much as he kind of goes out there on social media and he has a good time and he trolls people, I do think he realizes the difference between getting up in a podium and trying to smack somebody down as opposed to doing it on social media. Those are two different things in my world.
All right, so let's take Ole Miss's schedule up to their first bye week. So that's Furman in Oxford. They got Middle Tennessee in Oxford. Wake Forest in Winston-Salem. Yep. Cool little out-of-conference game there. Georgia Southern in Oxford. Watch out for the Eagles, all right? Just ask Nebraska. They get Kentucky at home, and then they go on the road to South Carolina and Columbia, and then LSU they get in Baton Rouge. So that's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games before their first bye week.
Yeah, and that's probably the toughest part, but that's why you have depth, right? That's why we look at Ole Miss and we feel like they're at a different point. You know, all the adversity that can be thrown at you, and let's be honest, you look at Ole Miss's schedule, it's much more favorable than most teams' schedules in the SEC. I'd put Missouri up there as well, but I think they have the ability and the numbers to be able to get through the natural attrition that we see in a college football season. But I tell you, I look at those first seven, and the game at Wake Forest, nobody's saying that's going to be easy. Ole Miss should be leaps and bounds better than every team they play up until they go play LSU in Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
But again, I'll go back to what I said when we were talking about LSU. Can Ole Miss handle the expectations of being supposed to win all of these games? Because it's one thing when you're the hunter, right? Or you're the underdog and that natural chip that's on the shoulder. It's another thing when that script flips or when that different hat gets put on to now you're walking in as the big dog, not only as the coaching staff, but as the players as well. So, again, I'm not going to sit here and chalk everything up and say it's going to be easy, but I would take those first seven games over just about any other schedule in the SEC.
What's their record through the first seven?
So the 7th is at LSU, correct?
Yes.
6-1.
That's what I got.
So the 6-1 and they beat LSU?
I got 6-1 too.
6-1 and they beat LSU.
Who are they losing to?
South Carolina on the road.
Say Georgia Southern. South Carolina on the road? Yeah.
I mean,
want to side bet that?
We can side bet it. I mean, I wonder what the money line is. I'll be interested to see that. So let me ask you this. There should be no worry if you're Ole Miss against Wake Forest, correct? You don't think that there should be any worry?
Well, look, Blaine, you know there's always worry.
Yeah.
There's always worry. You look at Wake Forest. I mean, physics is physics, science is science. Ole Miss has better players. And look, Wake Forest isn't exactly a hostile environment when you look at playing there. So they should be better. But again, this fan base, too, is not used to these sky-high expectations. They're probably going to be more nervous for games now than they've ever been. Because in the past, yeah, you wanted to win. But what was the old saying for Ole Miss? Well, we may not win the game, but we'll definitely not lose the party. Like, we've never lost a party. Well, now that's flipped. Now it's, oh, God. Like, we're supposed to not only win a lot of games, we're supposed to probably win a championship. Ole Miss fans will be more nervous this year than they have probably ever been in the history of Ole Miss football because I think the expectations, and they are legitimate, right? And they are backed up by facts and truth and reality when you look at the roster and the coaching staff. This one has more marbles on it than any ones in the past, and you're not playing with house money. It's not, oh, my goodness, man, we may have a chance to win the game. Everybody get excited. It's no, we're going in as favorites in most of our games. So I think there is room to worry because you've never been in this spot before.
Third favorite odds-wise, Ole Miss is. It's Georgia, Texas, Ole Miss to win the SEC championship.
Okay, so that gets us to the middle part of this schedule after the first bye week. Oklahoma at home, on the road to Arkansas, Georgia at home in Oxford.
Quiz, I'm going to tell you. If they get past that LSU game,
It's just Georgia.
I don't think they're going to lose until they play Georgia. And then at that point, look, Georgia's better than you are. They are better than you are. Is it by leaps and bounds? I don't think it's by that much, but they are better than you are. But if you can get to that point, which that would make it, Dave, unless I'm mistaken, that would be game 10?
Seven, eight, yeah, that'd
game
be game
nine.
10. So you could either be 8-1, 9-0. By that time, you'd have a lot of confidence.
Well,
you'd
here's
be at home.
Well, I haven't made any, and we haven't made any predictions yet, but I've said multiple times, I think there's a good chance Ole Miss may play Georgia twice because there's no divisions anymore, right? Now, wouldn't have mattered. Ole Miss is in the West, Georgia's in the East back in the old divisions. But if you go into that Georgia game and you're 9-0 and you lose that game, I mean, you win your last two, which should be Mississippi State and somebody else. I know you're going to get to it. Well, you're in the SEC championship game probably, most likely. And not only that, you're probably in the playoff, even if you were to lose to Georgia twice and be 10-2 with your two losses to what's probably going to be the number one team in the country in Georgia if it's not Ohio State or Oregon.
Well, the last two on the schedule, and Lane did a better job last year than I've ever seen him do before, and that's finish. They finished strong last year. That's Florida on the road a week after their second bye, and Mississippi State, you get the Egg Bowl at home in Oxford. So, look,
we'll see.
I mean, again, you look at that schedule. I mean, you know, Georgia at LSU, it's going to be tough. It's always tough down there. Then you get Georgia at home. You get New Oklahoma at home. You know who I don't see on that schedule? I don't see Alabama. I don't see Texas.
Yeah.
I don't see Missouri. So, like, I mean, again, unless I'm wrong, there's no Texas, Alabama, or Missouri on that schedule, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So again, it is to me, it's a race to see if you can get to that Georgia game undefeated. Because at that point, It's only really good outcomes that could probably happen unless you go blow it at Florida, right? Or at home, somehow Jeff Levy finds a way to use witchcraft and wizardry to beat you. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, man, those first, and they're all important. They're all important. But again, if you're Ole Miss, if you're Lane Kiffin, it's the next meeting. It's the next lift. It's the first. It's the next practice. All that next stretch. All that stuff. So Ole Miss is in the best position they could possibly be in, I think.
All right, we want to get to South Carolina's schedule, but before we do, let's tell them about Tax Network, okay? Are you struggling with back taxes or unfiled returns? I know I can't be the only one, y'all. The IRS is escalating collections by adding 20,000 new agents and sending billions of mailers. 20,000 new of them?
Son.
It's like stormtroopers, man. It's never ending. Handling this alone can be a huge mistake and cost you thousands of dollars. In these challenging times, your best offense is with Tax Network USA. With over 14 years of experience, the tax experts at Tax Network USA have saved clients millions in back taxes. Regardless of the size of your tax issue, their expertise is your advantage. For a complimentary consultation, call today at 1-800-245-6000 or visit their website at tnusa.com/. Can you go up so I can see what is slash? There we go. / booster, B-O-O-S-T-E-R. That's 1-800-245-6000 or visit tnusa.com/booster today. Don't let the IRS take advantage of you. No. Get the help you need with Tax Network USA. You're going to call?
Yeah, Tax Network's the closest thing you'll get to Georgia's defense.
To Georgia's defense.
That's literally the closest thing you'll get.
Yeah, that's true.
No doubt. All right, South Carolina here before we wrap up. Any word from Shane Beamer today? What was his message?
Well, you know, he had a 17-minute opening statement, which I don't think anybody's going to go longer than that.
Mike Leach used to not go 17 words.
Yeah. Mike Leach used to see how little he could say, RIP to our one of our favorites there, and Coach Leach. But, you know, there's always a lot of pressure on all these guys. Regardless of how well you did the last year, there's always pressure. I feel like Shane is, and he hadn't shown it because he understands he has to show strength as the leader of that program. And we can get into the nuts and bolts of worrying about what's going to go on up front because that's their biggest problem. But I think outside of Billy Napier and Sam Pittman, Shane Beamer probably has the most pressure to at least show legitimate progress this year. after what happened last year up front, which was abysmal. We all know that on both sides of the ball. You've got a young up-and-coming quarterback. Everybody's excited about Lenoris Sellers. Nicholas Harbor could probably be signed to one of the Avengers with the way his athletic ability is off the charts. Just look at his rating in NCAA College Football 25 is coming out. But I know he's feeling it. And I've talked to Coach Beamer many times. We all have. He's a great guy. But at some point, you know, Steve Spurrier has shown you can win at South Carolina. Now, I don't think anybody's asking Shane Beamer to win 33 games in 3 years, but there's a ton of pressure on him this year. Not saying that they would let him go if it goes disastrously this year. There's a possibility, but he would probably be the coach on the hottest seat next year if there is not a sign of progress. And I'm looking at the offensive line and the defensive line, and I think they're going to be better because they can't be much worse. But you didn't get rid of a lot of guys. You kept a lot of coaches, right? You look at Brian Kelly, he fired his whole defensive staff after going 10-3. So you believe in what you're doing. And I think Lenoris Sellers has a chance to be really special, but I think he's feeling that heat, and he should. It's part of it. I mean, he's a coach's son. He understands what this league is about, what this profession is about. But yeah, it's time to put your you know what's on the table if you're South Carolina and show some progress.
All right, here's their schedule in its entirety. Okay. Old Dominion, home, Kentucky, road, LSU home, Akron home, first bye week. Ole Miss home, Alabama on the road, Oklahoma on the road. So that's Ole Miss, Alabama, Oklahoma, all three in a row tucked between two bye weeks. So after that second bye week, Texas A&M home, Vanderbilt on the road, Missouri at home, the other Columbia, Wofford at home, and then Clemson at Clemson.
Oh, God, they're in trouble.
How many wins are out there, Blaine?
They're in trouble. Old Dominion, we'll see. That's who I'm starting my new NCAA dynasty with.
They're not going to be any better because
Kentucky.
Yeah. Hey, Kentucky on the road's not a gimme.
No, for sure.
Not a gimme, especially your team like South Carolina.
No.
LSU at home.
I'm going to say that. Not only is that.
Go ahead, Jay.
Not only is that not a gimme, that's when I feel like they got to win. Like, because all of a sudden, you lose that game to Kentucky. It gets turned up even more. And that's, again, Brock Vandegrift's new quarterback there. We'll see if you know, them bringing back their old offensive line coach is going to kind of get Kentucky back to their identity of playing some bully ball up front. But then all of a sudden, I mean, you read it off. You got who they got after Kentucky? You got LSU at home,
Akron at home, Ole Miss at home, on the road at Bama, on the road at OU.
Mm.
It's not a lot of winnable games.
I mean, like, you don't beat Kentucky, that you're probably 2-5 at that point, which you get to 2-5. Now we're looking at, now we're going to go through the rest of the schedule. Now it's, oh no, call FEMA. Mm-hmm. We need to start sending trailers and bottled water and yogurt and stuff down
it
here.
It sucks because we love Coach
for
Beamer.
Everybody to start taking.
We love Coach Beamer on the show. We want him to do well. South Carolina just reminds me, and I'm not trying to be an ass when I say this, it reminds me of a fast food place. Right, the food's good. You want the food to be really good, but every time you go to it, something's missing on what you ordered.
Mm-hmm.
Something's just missing on what you ordered.
I love that.
They might have one great thing, two great things, but something's always missing, and you're not mad. You're just disappointed.
And it really shows you what a great job Steve Spurrier did with that program when he was in charge, and they were winning all the games that they were able to win. And what makes it tougher is you've had to look across the way at Clemson, who also isn't a traditional like blue blood football powerhouse, and you've had to see what Dabo Swinney has turned Clemson into.
Yeah, well, look, it's one thing if you know, you get beat up when you're on vacation. It's another thing when your neighbor beats you up in the street in front of your family. And then, like, it's just the truth. Clemson, I mean, you won 2
I don't want either.
Like, it just, like no, like, it's That's just tough. The truth. Like, oh, no, we went to Turks and Caicos, and I got jumped outside the hotel. None of our friends will ever know. Oh, wow, Derek just came across the street and beat me up, you know, right my kids got home from school and all the neighbors saw it. Like, now I got to look around and be nervous and embarrassed when I go take the trash out on Thursdays. But again, I think Blaine's analogy was so spot on. It just seems like South Carolina under Shane Beamer, they're just almost there, right? Now, last year, I think it was pretty bad because they were bad up front on the defensive line and the offensive line. But it does seem like they always have, like, these pieces that they should do this, they should do that. But Blaine, I thought that analogy was
Xavier Leggett
at the team this year. Like,
yeah, Xavier Leggett and Spencer Rattler last year. It doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah. Yeah, and like, I mean, again, asking Nicholas Harbor and Lenora Sellers, being as young and as new as they are, to be able to just replicate that, not surpass it, but get close to replicating that with what may be a little bit of improved offensive line and what may be a little bit of improved defense. I don't know. I look at that schedule, especially early, and I'm really worried for Coach Beamer. I really am.
Well, again, this was a very chaotic day for everyone involved. Apologies that we weren't able to be live with the chat and the call-ins and all that. But like I said, we got Jake coming live to us from Dallas. We've got, you know, most of the company in Milwaukee for the RNC right now with Donald Trump announcing his VP pick. So hopefully the rest of the week will be right on schedule. But Jake, anything else you want to say as our correspondent from SEC Media Days?
Yeah, unfortunately, I wasn't picked as vice president. I feel like I made the top six, but I just didn't have some.
Do we know that yet?
Your name could get called.
That's all right. Your name could get called, kid.
Yeah, look, they already let me know it's not me. Okay. I feel like Aaron Rodgers in draft.
We know it's not Earl here.
No, we're Sarah. We'll start investigating in Earl.
We don't want Earl.
We do have the Home Run Derby tonight, though, right? We do have the Home Run Derby tonight. You got any picks for that, Jake?
Yeah, I do. I'm going to put him out on social. I will say I had to bet on an NBA Summer League game tonight, so great. Ugh. I bet the over in the Heat Summer League
good
game.
Bet. Figure out bet. I bet an NBA
I'm going to put out my bets. Let's just say typically I pick Pete Alonso in the home run derbies. I didn't do that this year. I may have picked somebody that's at plus 550.
Who'd you take?
I don't know. There's a little bit of a you'll see. You have to check social, dog.
Man. Oh, I got the polar bear winning.
The win of the whole thing?
Yeah, I got
So I got Pete Alonso as a finalist. That's plus 135.
Okay.
And then Ozuna to win the first round, minus 120. Some Braves love there.
There you go. Yeah, Jake, how was the Reds game? You look good.
Yeah, just long as he's not long as he's not drunk, talking about Ozuna. Oh, it was great. First off, I'm a Braves fan.
Well,
all right. So y'all can shove it if you don't think.
Social media,
well, I am a Braves fan. I went to a Reds game. Social media is convinced of a lot of things. The ballpark was amazing. I thought the city was amazing. And of course, I'm going to get an Ellie De La Cruz jersey. And I feel like that's the reason he hit an absolute moon balloon.
Did he hit his second
at bat. Just crushed
it. He hit a tank while y'all were there?
Rushed.
And you were wearing his jersey?
Bro, they hit.
Come on now.
David, they hit six home runs. Reed, my wife had never been to a Major League Baseball game. So she got to see everything. Six home runs. Marlins player got thrown out in the ninth inning. And we were literally like four rows kind of to the left of behind home plate. But it was fantastic.
That's awesome. All right. Well, that's it for today. Why don't you go ahead and take us out, Blaine, and show your brother how to catch the card.
Ooh, yeah.
Also, we got the EA Sports coming out today.
Drop it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, trust me. If you're going to text me or call me today, I'm not answering.
But don't miss tomorrow's show.
Don't miss tomorrow's show at all, because we're going to...
Yeah, we should be live tomorrow unless somebody invades us.
Maybe a little special thing going on.
Maybe a little EA special tomorrow.
Just like the chances of LSU's defense holding the people under 25 points a game. We're going. Go.
Wow, here we go. Did he catch it?
He didn't even throw it.